someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
When the world said no, she said yes. She refused to accept the blows that had been thrown at her, and she became determined to learn how to tell her story. Resilient and courageous, she is a 2016 graduate of the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film at Howard University. And in this year of our 150th anniversary, she is poised to make her mark on the world. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is Miss Sierra McDonald. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you were raised in Compton, California.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your childhood, what it was like growing up.
Okay, so I was raised in East Orange, New Jersey until I was about 10 years old. And then I moved to Compton, California, and I was raised by my grandparents. Up until that point, you know, my parents, they had some things that were going on with them that they needed to work on, and it was just best suited that I lived with my grandparents for a time. It was very drastic, you know, moving from one coast to another. And up until that point, as far as it was my father's parents, I didn't really have too strong of a relationship with them. So it was going into a new environment, a new home, and like new people. And, you know, Compton, California, kind of its stigma for what it is. I can specifically speak on just the fact that it's not Rancho Cucamonga, it's not Beverly Hills, but, you know, it was very, like, it brought out kind of like the hustler in you, in a sense. Like, it made you kind of like want to do more and be more.
So tell me about high school then, as you then went on to high school. Tell me what your high school experience was like.
Oh, okay. So high school for me was very different. Because of the things that I had went through as a child, you know, kind of being separated from my parents and them going through the things that they were going through and being placed in a new environment and with strangers, even though these were my family members, I didn't know them, like I didn't grow up with them. It was a getting to know process. High school was very hard for me. I was very depressed. I was not engaged in school. I had very low grades. I was doing everything that I shouldn't have been doing, like drugs, you know, smoking weed and just overdoing it on like regular like Tylenol and stuff, the ones that make you sleep, because I just didn't want to be up and just wasn't active. I wasn't present. So high school was a very trying time for me. I was acting out a lot, getting into a lot of trouble, suspension from school. It just wasn't it for me. When in my junior year, however, my grandmother passed away. And, you know, up until this point, my grandparents are really old. They were really old. You have a 70-year-old man and a 70-year-old woman trying to raise a troubled child that they didn't really understand. So it was really hard on them, my behavior and the things that I was doing. And when my grandmother died, this was my junior year. They had multiple meetings with my grandparents as far as she's not going to graduate, she's failing. And coming from that community, the biggest accomplishment that you could have is graduating from high school. Like, that's kind of the big thing. And for me, it was like, she's not even going to graduate from high school. And a part of me had felt very sad that I was disappointing my grandfather, because he took me in. It was because of him that I wasn't, you know, in the streets and in foster care. And at this point, I couldn't even, you know, go to class. And he was waking up every morning to take me to school so I wouldn't have to walk or catch the bus. And at this point, his wife had died. And, you know, it was like, what am I doing? And at that point, I was like, okay, Sierra, you need to do something so you could at least pay favor back to this man who took you in, you know, and you've been acting crazy. So I went to night school, so I was going to regular school, and then the Maxine Waters Center in Watts, California, I remember that was where all the students who went that didn't do good in school, like you could make up classes. I was able to graduate with that, okay, you know, GPA. And
that's good. So it's a lot of resilience.
Yes.
So once you graduated, what fueled your passion for the next step?
What really kind of fueled me was just my environment, the fact that it wasn't a lot of resources around, meaning that I had graduated, I had got my high school degree, and that was it. You know, like I mentioned before, one of the biggest accomplishments in that area and a lot of communities is graduating from high school. And then after that, the options are very, I don't want to say scarce, but there are certain career paths that are expected or that are okay. And for me, it was just like I got to a point where I was like, okay, I finished high school. Now what? I got a warehouse job because the city of Compton is very heavily industrialized by major companies that come in. And so there's a lot of factory work. And I remember when I had got the job, my granddaddy, he was very happy because he comes from like a factory background type of work. So he was going to support me in anything that I did. And the shift was from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. And I stood on an assembly line and I was tearing stickers off of scooters because they were they did a recall and needed to do whatever. And I remember just standing there and I'm like, this can't be it. Like, I'm like 18 years old, just graduated high school, and I'm already on an assembly line. Like it was 19, you know, 50 or 60.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Sierra McDonald. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So with that in mind, mm-hmm. It sounds like that motivated you to attend community college.
Yes. So there's some backstory. So I've always been smart. Like that's when I say I've always been smart. I've always been a reader, a writer, very engaged. But prior to high school, when I was in middle school, I was a part of MESA in California. It's called Mathematics Engineering Science Academy. I did mock trial debate. So education was very fundamental for me. It's right. Just that in high school, because I had issues that I hadn't dealt with, that kind of took the forefront. Right. So when I was getting ready to graduate, one of my counselors asked me, she said, Sierra, she said, what do you want to do in life? What do you want to be? I said, I don't know. She said, if you had straight A's right now and, you know, and your life was perfect, right, would you go to college? And I said, yes. And she says, you need to go to Santa Monica Community College. So that was always in the back of my mind. And during this time when I first enrolled, I was still working the factory job. So it was very hard. I don't know if I had a talk with somebody or I went to church, but the message was basically you cannot serve two masters. It's like you have to kind of buckle down and make a choice in what you want to do. It's like you're either going to go to school and dedicate your time fully, or you're going to work and, you know, try to sustain yourself. And at that point, I made the choice that I was going to go to school full time, that was going to be my focus, and I was going to let that lead me through everything.
How were you doing it with your online classes at the time?
So I did really well on my online classes. I actually got a B, and it was African American history. Okay. And I remember the book because it had a picture of Obama on it. I don't know what edition it was, but, you know, I think.
So you did. So obviously, once you decided to go full time, why Howard? Why come back to the East Coast? What was the attraction, and how did you make that transition?
Okay, so when I went to Santa Monica Community College, it's a predominantly white institution, 30,000 students. It's diverse, but mostly white. And I got very involved in the Black Student Association Club there. Okay. And I picked up a mentor. I had always been an advocate of the Black community, especially from where I came from in my experience, low economic, things like that. Just wanting to make a difference, be a change, and show people that you can do something different than what they tell you you can be. Right. And that was always my forefront. It was always what I was pushing for when I was essentially a journalism major. And I had a mentor. She went to Spelman. She didn't go to Howard, but she went to Spelman, an HBCU advocate. And this is when I was getting ready to apply to schools. And she sat down with me. I had applied to every school except Howard. Syracuse, USC. I was getting out of California. That was the one thing, though. Like, I just felt like I needed to get away to broaden my perspective and my horizon because that's all I knew for so long. So that was one of the reasons why I was leaving LA. But how I came to Howard, she sat me down and she said, Sierra, she said, I think it's very important for you to get the Black college experience. She said, you know, I know you think the world is one way and you think that the African-American struggle or that the people are this way. But she said, I think you, she was like, I really want you to be in an environment where you can see that you are not the only one, that you are not out here fighting the battle alone, and that you have people who look like you, that are accomplishing things like you, that come from where you come from, and that have done the things that you've done, and that come from places you never could imagine. And I want you to see that and be that, because you're going to be great. You're going to be in a position where you're going to do things, and I need you to know that you're not alone, that you have a rich history, and you can only get that at an HBCU. And she specifically told me to go to Howard because at that time I was a journalism major, and D.C. is a very, you know,
absolutely great environment.
Place.
So when you showed up on campus, did you meet all of those things that she said, and then take us through your Howard journey to your graduation? Is that what you think you received in your education?
Yes. So when I came to Howard, I can remember it like, this is so funny. There's this Mr. Krabs meme when like the whole world is just warped. So it's kind of like, that's how I felt when I got to Howard campus, because, oh my gosh, it's one of the most amazing feelings in the world. I remember, so I had got into the Annenberg Honors program, and when I first got here on campus, they did a pinning ceremony. And so when I went to the pinning ceremony, not only was I surrounded by people who looked like me, but there was just this prestige and this air that I had never, like, I had got more confidence and like my chest, you know, puffed up walking into the room. It's just something you can't explain. I'm trying, you know, my best to, but when I walked into that room and I got my pen and I was sitting next to my peers, it was an amazing feeling. And what kind of took it to the next level was the conversations that were held in classrooms and just over the course of time that I've been here with professors and students. I have friends that, their parents are CEOs of nonprofit clinics, and they come from legacies and money. And for me, I was like, for me and what I had thought, I thought only people of color who had money were like athletes or, you know, rich people. And I knew that as African Americans, we hold high positions in different industries, but it never really crossed my mind that that is something so pivotal and it's different when they're children and you're going to school and they kind of have that direct connection. And then on the other hand, I met students who were just like me, like spitting images, who came from the same neighborhoods, maybe even worse situations, and had that same ambition. And I know for me, I've always told myself, whatever I do and whatever I choose to do, I never wanted to be alone. Like, who wants to be at the top alone? I don't want to be by myself. I didn't want to be that one student in the classroom that had to defend the race. I want my peers at the table with me. And that's what I felt and what I saw when I came here. And it really gave me that much more confidence in what my mentor was trying to explain to me, that I don't think people understand what the HBCU experience gives you.
So as we close, obviously commencement was a special commencement.
Mm-hmm.
What were your take home points from commencement and our commencement speaker?
So the biggest thing that I took away from the message, you know, Obama had said something, President Obama, he said that we're lucky, you know, that we're the lucky ones because we have brothers and friends and sisters who were just as smart as us or came from the same situation as us. And we were the ones who happened to make it and to get in the places that we are. And now that we're in the positions that we are and we're going the places that we're going, you have to be mindful and you have to make sure that the things that you are doing are being effective in the communities, you know, that you come from and be able to serve. So I feel like at the end of commencement and everything that I've taken away from life and up until now is I want to be in a position to really give back and serve my community in like the best way that I know how.
Excellent. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Sierra McDonald, who has had quite an interesting journey with many destinations, but still much more to come. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.